Okay, so this week we begin with Parshas Dvarim. We begin with the new Sefer of Dvarim. And tonight's shiur, I'd like to do something different than I've done the past few weeks. Not so much analyze the text itself, but perhaps the Sefer Dvarim in its entirety. The nature of Sefer Dvarim versus the other four Svarim of the Chumash. I'd like to develop a mahalach, some theme that may correlate to the previous parshas we discussed. I think we start with Parshas Chukas, and we did Pinchas and Balak, and perhaps to develop an idea that will connect to this new Sefer Dvarim as a background for what we're about to see. So I just want to focus on the first five psukim in the parsha on the first page, and beyond those psukim, I'm going to discuss, go through mefarshim and commentators, and we haven't done much of that either. And I'll give you a little background, perhaps, on the various mefarshim, and we can read through it inside slowly to get a idea. Here's another sheet. So let's begin with the first page, analyzing the opening, the first five psukim of the entire Sefer Dvarim. So I'm going to read back and forth the Hebrew and in the English. So Pasuk Aleph says, Eila hadvarim. These are the words, Asher diber Moshe, which Moshe spoke, El kol Yisrael. Moshe spoke these words to all of Bnei Yisrael. Be'ever hayarden, beyond the Yarden, but Midbar, in the wilderness. Barava, another place. Mol Suf, which was over against Suf. Bein Paran, Bein Tofel, between these places called Paran and Tofel. Lavan, and also between Lavan, and another two places. So this very first pasuk, it just jumps out at you and says, why the list of all the different places? Moshe is speaking in one place, I assume. He wasn't speaking in 15 different places. If you just read the English straight, it makes absolutely no sense. He was in the Yarden, he was in the Midbar, he was in Arava, he was against the Sof, it was between Par and Tophel, he was in Lavan, he was in Chatzeros. All these places seem to make very little sense. And the next pasuk bay says Achar Asar Yom Mechorev. It was 11 days journey derech Har Seir ad Kadesh Barnea. It was an 11-day journey from Chorev until Kadesh Barnea, by the way of Mount Seir. So now, where is that coming? We just described. We were trying to tell us where Moshe Rabbeinu was located when he gave this speech, and then we talk about this journey of 11 days. But this place was 11 days between these. It just makes no sense. All the mafarshim point out, we don't know what's going on here. Pasuk Gimel now. Vayhi bar b'mishana. When did this take place? It took place in the 40th year. Ba'ashtei asar chodesh be'echad l'chodesh. Took place in the 40th year in the 11th month. Be'echad l'chodesh in the first day of the month. Diber Moshe. Moshe spoke. A highlight of the Diber Moshe. We already were told in Pasuk Aleph that Moshe spoke. It says Asher Diber Moshe in the beginning that Moshe spoke. Now again in Pasuk Gimel, before Moshe even said anything, it says again, and Moshe Rabbeinu spoke. El Bnei Yisrael, he spoke to Bnei Yisrael, Kechol Asher Tziva Hashem Oso Aleihem, according to all that Hashem had given him in commandment to them. Pasuk Dala now, more ambiguity. Achar Yakoso, when did it take place? Not only did it take place after the 40th year, but it took place after he had smitten Sichon, as Sichon Melech Amori, Sichon, who was the king of the Amorites, Asher Yoshev, who dwelled Becheshbon. They dwelt in Cheshbon, Va'og Melech Abashon, they also killed Og, the king of Bashan, Asher Yoshe Ba'asharos Be'adrei, who dwelt in Asheros Adrei. And finally, Pasuk Hei, Beva Yarden. This was beyond the Yarden, which again we repeated in Pasuk Aleph. It's repeating now what was said in Pasuk Aleph, Beva Yarden, which was Beretz Moab. That was located in the land of Moab, which was not mentioned in Pasuk Aleph. What happened there? Hoya Moshe. Moshe expounded the Torah, Beretz HaTorah, expounded on the Torah, Hazos Lemor, saying. So I highlighted this third place now, Lemor. It says three times that Hashem spoke. That Moshe spoke. In this introduction, Moshe didn't speak it. Moshe spoke, Moshe spoke, Moshe spoke. Three different times, why the repetition? Also, we asked, why with all these places, trying to, these locations seem to be, was it here or was it there? Where was it exactly? The repetition in Be'evar Yarden. Now, I'm not going to answer all these questions. I don't know the answer to all these questions. But these are definitely questions which the Mefarshim do ask and do try to answer. Just to throw out just two simple pshatim, I'm not going to focus on those, but to show you how they struggle. Rashi in the Pasuk Aleph says the reason why they list all these places of Midbar, Arava, Mosuf, Rashi tells us there was some way of Moshe subtly referring to different places and different averos, different sins that happened to Bnei Yisrael, where they were maybe perhaps when Korach was attacking and challenging Moshe's authority. One of the places is a reference to that. One's a reference of Egel Hazav. Different sins that happened through the Midbar, Moshe was trying to be very subtle about it. He didn't want to direct this rebuke towards Klal Yisrael. So by saying these places, it kind of jogged their memory and remembered what happened in those places. And that's the confusion, but it's not really telling us the location where Moshe took place. That's Rashi. And many of the commentators don't like Rashi's explanation very well. And the Rashbam gives a different interpretation. The grandson of Rashi, Rashbam, says in the Pasuk Aleph, when it says Midbar, Rava, Mosuf, it's actually trying to focus in on one place. It's as if to say, this took place on the world. It took place in, let's say, the Northern Hemisphere. It took place in the United States of America. It took place in New York. It took place in Manhattan. It's starting larger and getting smaller and smaller.
Right. English translation, that's kind of how I got into Jordan, across the Jordan in the wilderness, in this place called Rabba, which is near here.
Exactly. That's exactly the Rashbam. He says the same thing, right? And he said, why we just get right to the point and tell us where it took place. He says, he quotes a few other psukim that have a very similar nature in describing a certain location in this way. Okay, so that's the way Rashbam did it, and maybe it's not a question. The question we still do have, given that, why is it repeated three times Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to them? He didn't speak yet. This is all an introduction to what Moshe Rabbeinu is about to do. Now, just to get just a little background of Sefer Devarim, just to give us a little bearing here, we're not going to go into all of Sefer Devarim, but there are basically three main sections of Sefer Devarim. The first section is the rebuke, where Moshe Rabbeinu is about, he's introducing the ultimate rebuke for Klal Yisrael. That takes place the first five prokim or so. And then the next 20 prokim is mitzvos, a big chunk of discussing mitzvos, either new mitzvos that were never mentioned in the Torah before, or perhaps ones that were repeated and some nuances. And the final section, which is about Parakhov Zion, the 27th chapter, it's the final covenant between Bnei Yisrael and God, and the ultimate treaty between the two of them, how they'll go on in the future. Those are the three basic sections. Okay, so we read the first five psukim, the introduction to Moshe Rabbeinu's rebuke. We have a lot of questions, we don't know the answers, and let's leave that in the back, we'll try to get back to it. The first question is, what's going on in these first psukim? Let's turn to page 2 now. I want to read two excerpts from two different Gemaras we find in the Bavli. The first Gemara is found in Megillah. Masechet Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. It's the first Mar Makom. I'll try my best to translate it. The Gemara there says, "B'tainios brachos v'klalos v'ein mafsikin b'klalos." On Tainios, they would read the brachos, the blessings. They would read the curses, but you're not allowed to break up the klalos, you can't break up the curses. In other words, when you read the two sections of the Torah where there are curses, so when they're curses, that what will happen to Klal Yisrael if they don't listen. So when you're reading those klalos, those curses, you're not allowed to break up different aliyahs. One person, there has to be one aliyah, one person says the bracha, the entire klalah, the entire section of curses is read, and then he says the bracha and another person gets the aliyah. You can't break them up into two or more aliyos. So Manahani Mile, how do you know this that you can't separate it? Klalos? So Amar Bhia Bargamda Amar Rabasi Damar Krai quotes a pasuk in Mishle, Moshe Hashem Bnei Altim Altimas. When Hashem gives you Musr, don't melt. So that's somehow a source for it. Okay. Resh Lakish Amar Lafish Ain Omer Bracha Apranos. The reason why you don't say a bracha on pranos, you don't say bracha on bad things that happen. So if you break up the curses, so a new person's going to get the aliyah in the middle of the klalos, he's going to say the bracha on the Torah, asher bracha ban mikol amim. You can't say a bracha on the curses. So therefore, that's why we always start a little bit before the klalos starts, before the curse starts in the chumash. We start with some positive psukim. And then we end, after the curses are done, we have a few other psukim of positive things. This way, the bracha in the beginning of the aliyah and the bracha at the end of the aliyah are both on good, positive things, not on klalos. So that's Reish Lakish's reason. So Ela Hechiyav, how do you do it? So Tana, the Braisa, says, Kishu Matchil, that's why I just said, Matchil Pasuk Shelefneim. When you begin the reading of the Torah on the curses, you start a little before the curses. So you don't say the bracha on the actual curses, you say a bracha a few psukim prior to them. Ukshihu misayim, but when you complete that aliyah, misayim b'pasuk shel acharem, you complete that aliyah on a pasuk that follows the curses. So again, the aliyah that he's getting is bracketed by positive, more bracha type psukim. So now this is the key point. Amar Abaye says, "Lo shanu ela beklalos shebetaras kohanim." This statement that you can't split up the curses only applies to the klalos, the curses that appear in Taras Kohanim. What's Taras Kohanim? Taras Kohanim is another way of referring to the Sefer Vayikra. The Sefer Vayikra, we have one of the klalos, tochachas appears there. That's the only time you can't split it up. You have to read it in its entirety in one shot. About klalos shebe Mishnah Torah, the curses that appear in the Mishnah Torah, which is another way of saying Sefer Dvarim, this Dvarim that we're doing. When it comes to Mishnah Torah, when it comes to Sefer Dvarim, the klalos, the tochacha, the curses that we find here, posik, you are allowed to break up. You could have one person get the aliyah in the first half of the curses, and this another person will come up and get another aliyah, second aliyah, the second half of the curses. There's no problem splitting them up. The question is why? My taima, what's the reason for this, the Gemara asks. So, halalu b'lashon rabin amaros, umoshim mipiyah gvurin amram. Because the curses that are found in Vayikra, which you cannot split up, were said in the plural tense. And they were said by Moshe Rabbeinu from God. God said them. God said them to the entire Klal Yisrael. And when God says something, they're much more serious. As opposed to the klalos, the curses that appear in Mishnah Torah, V'halalu, the Gemara says, those in Mishnah Torah, B'lashon Yachad Amaros, they were said only to individuals, which aren't as harsh as opposed to the Tzibor, the community. U'Moshe bin Pi Asman Amran, Moshe himself said them. So in other words, the first set of curses that appear in the Torah, Hashem said them, so they're much stronger and harsher. You can't split those up. Moshe Rabbeinu said the ones that are in our Sefer Devarim, which have less strength than that which Hashem said. Moshe himself said them, and therefore you would be allowed to split them up. What comes out is Moshe Rabbeinu, in other words, he said the klalos of Mishnah Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote these klalos that are found in our Sefer Devarim. These are what?
I mean, everything in Torah is from Hashem, right? Even the Devarim.
Ah, so that's exactly what we're about to address. So from this Gemara, it appears that Moshe Rabbeinu on his own got up, said these curses. And we recorded all these curses. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu basically wrote at least a section of the Sefer Devarim where he gives the curses. And according to the Zohar wants to say that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the entire Sefer Devarim. Not only the Tochacha has appeared from the Gemara, the entire Sefer Devarim Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. And you're asking me, but didn't Hashem write everything? So let's move to the Gemara that tells us Hashem did write everything. And how do we understand this apparent contradiction? So the next source, this is found Talmud Bavli, Masechet Sanhedrin, which Tzadi Tes Amun Aleph. The Gemara there says, Tani Idach, there exists another Braisa, Kidavra Hashem Bezeh, and Hashem spoke this, Zeha Omer Ein Torah Min HaShemayim. It's referring to an Apikoros, someone, a heretic, who says the Torah is not from Shemayim, the Torah is not from God. That's a heretic. Vafilu Amar. Even if this person wants to say, Kol HaTorah Kula Min HaShemayim, I agree everything is from God, Chus Mi Pasuk Zeh, except for one Pasuk. Shlo Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu El Moshe Mi Piyasmo. Every single Pasuk I agree Hashem said and wrote, there's this one pasuk that Moshe said. Just one pasuk. He also is included in this Zeh ki dibar Hashem bazeh. He's included in the category of being a heretic. One pasuk Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. Sorry, one second. Va'afilu amar. The Gemara goes on to say, even if he says, Kol HaTorah Kula Min HaShemayim, everything's from God. Every single pasuk is from God. Chutz miduk tuk zeh. Except for this one dik. This one... Inference. It's one little inference. Mikal v'chomer zeh, migzer shavah. Some way you're going to expound on the Torah. Every pasuk, every word, I agree. But perhaps this connection, this drasha, I'm trying to learn out from the Torah. That's from Moshe Rabbeinu. He also is included as a heretic under this category. So we see on one hand, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says everything is from Shemayim. Everything Hashem wrote. Every pasuk, every drasha. Yeah, the Gemara in Bavli in Megillah says that Moshe Rabbeinu, in fact, said the klalos that appear in our Sefer Devarim in Mishnah Torah, and Hashem didn't. How do we understand? Yes, you had a question before.
Who knows the future?
Moshe. How so? Well, he may not know what's going to happen. He's giving them a curse that if you don't listen, the following will happen. Not that he knows what will happen, but he's telling them, he's defining the future, basically. He's not saying, I know what's going to happen. If you do it, he's giving them a curse. Sometimes curses can, you know, come true, and some maybe not. But it doesn't mean he knew what's going to happen in the future. But there is another Gemara, there's a Medrash that says, when Moshe Rabbeinu was taken to the top of the mountain to see all of Eretz Yisrael, Hashem says, Moshe, you can't come in, but I'll let you look. The Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu looked at every single city in the Israel, and he was able to see what happened in the future. So maybe Moshe Rabbeinu did to certain... He was a Navi also, so he was privy to certain things in the future.
No, not what happened after the curse. Same when he wrote the Torah.
Mm-hmm. When he wrote, why is that? There, why do you say that?
Because when he went to Har Sinai and read the Torah.
Okay, if all of Torah was taken at Har Sinai, it was all received at Har Sinai. We know that there's many years that occurred later on and the Jews were wandering, but he all wrote it at Har Sinai.
So this is a great question. Excellent question. And there is a Gemara in Gittin, which discusses how the Torah was actually written. This is you're asking a question that the Amoraim, maybe the Tanaim, argued about. Excellent question. Some say that everything was in fact written. Right, even beforehand, it happened, Moshe Rabbeinu was told to write everything out. And another opinion says, at each section, as each event unraveled, then Moshe Rabbeinu wrote that event down. And the different Mefarshim commentators try to figure out what each of those sides mean. Some say it happened again in portions, Megillah Nitna, it was given as a Megillah, as like different sections, and another opinion says everything was given in one shot. The Gemara in Gittin. So I'll just tell you, since you asked, there is a fascinating gra on this topic. The Gemara says in, I think, Baba Basra, that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah bidema, dalad mem ayin, which people interpret to mean tears. He wrote it as the last eight psukim of the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote with tears because he was talking about him dying. But the word dima is really spelled dalad mem ayin he. The way it appears in the Gemara is dalad mem ayin, no he. So the Gra says dalad mem ayin means mixture. He brings other proofs, it means mixture. So Moshe Rabbeinu was given the Torah at Har Sinai as a mixture. What does a mixture mean? The words were written without spaces. Imagine putting all the words together with those spaces. You can't read anything. But as the events unraveled, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to go back and look at the psukim, the word, and letters, and he was able to make the appropriate spaces because he knew what had happened to get the proper words out and to create the storyline. So when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the last eight psukim of the Torah, he wrote it bidema, but in a mixture, he just wrote the eight psukim straight without any spaces. He didn't know what was going to happen. He wrote everything, but he didn't make the spaces because he didn't know what will happen. Anyways, it's an excellent question about what was given. So, yeah, you had a question?
Is the Gemara that you just read a couple of minutes ago saying that Moshe wrote these curses completely on his own without Hashem telling him to write the curses? Or just Moshe did it on his own? Or is that what the Gemara is saying?
It seems from the Gemara that Moshe did it on his own, yeah. He did it on his own.
Without Hashem saying you should write this, this is what you should say.
Right. So we have this contradiction, and whether Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the section of these curses in Sefer Devarim, and according to the Zohar, he maybe wrote the entire Sefer Devarim.
Can I just say one?
Yeah.
If the Gemara is saying that this particular section, like why this particular section was written only by Moshe and not this one or that one or the other one or the other one.
Right.
Why this one?
So if you read the section,
and then you think, I'm sorry, if it no. has to be extreme, you know, well, why not the whole thing?
The whole chumash, the whole Torah, right? So there are. We'll read shortly from another commentator, the Barbanel, and he'll point out Sefer Devarim does have a few unique characteristics which makes it different than the other, just the writing style. And so the writing style of the klalos of this section of the curses is written as Moshe Rabbeinu talking. That's how it's written, and he's saying I don't have the words in front of me. I can find it, but it's clearly him talking. Everyone agrees. The Gemara is not such a great chiddush. It's not such a great innovation to say that Moshe Rabbeinu said these. It's pretty clear. I don't think anybody argues on that. Moshe Rabbeinu did say them. But you have to deal with the question, Moshe Rabbeinu said them. Don't we have another Gemara that says Hashem wrote everything? So it could be made God told him. It could be God told him. Some do say that actually God told him to say that. And others have a different answer. Well, we'll read through in the Barber now. But yeah, this is a challenging question that a lot of people deal with. So that's the other second big question we want to bring out there. Did Moshe Rabbeinu write the Tocha? If he did, how do you understand the Gemara that says Hashem wrote everything? In light of this, it's a very interesting Medrash. Tanchuma. That says, it reminds us of back in Parsha Shmos. It says, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hashem appears to Moshe Rabbeinu in the snap. And Hashem says to Moshe, I want you to go down to Egypt. I want you to be leader and take out Bnei Israel. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? I'm not a man of words. I don't speak properly. But what do you find here in Sefer Devarim, the very name Sefer Devarim? Suddenly Moshe is full of words. He's full of words. The lashon, the language that was used back in Sefer Shmo says, "Et mola lo ish dvar manochi." I'm not a man of dvarim. I'm not a man of words. But yet here, elu dvarim asher diber Moshe. Suddenly Moshe becomes a man full of words. What exactly is that change? So the Gemara has this cryptic, or the Medrash has this cryptic answer. Rabbi Yitzchak answers that if you learn the Torah, you will become healed. And since Moshe Rabbeinu learned through the entire Torah, so he was healed of his speech impediment, and he was able to speak, and he was a man of words. So what happens suddenly now, after he completed the whole Torah? He completed the first four Svarim, Bereishis Shmos Vayikra Bamidbar. Suddenly comes Dvarim, he has this ability to speak. Why this change? Interesting measures to think about. We'll see if this fits into the overall theme we're going to try to develop. And last question I'd like to ask before going through some of these Mefarshim is, what is the reason why Dvarim is referred to as Mishneh Torah? What's the Lashon of Mishneh Torah? And that all Mefarshim answer, and we'll see some approaches. Fine, so let's begin with the bottom of page 2 on the Barbanel. Actually, we're not even beginning the answers yet. The Barbanel is going to attack these questions, or one of these questions, head on and raise further questions. So the Abarbanel, just to give you a little background, his name was Don Isaac Abarbanel, and he was lived in the 15th century. He was born in Portugal. He was a big philosopher, a big businessman. He was kicked out of many different countries throughout Europe, Portugal, Spain. I think maybe even went down to Morocco even for a little bit, I don't remember. But he was a big financier and a big businessman and a prolific writer. So the Barbanel had a very unique style of commentators, commentary on the Chumash and the Navi and the Ksuvim. And he writes, he begins every section with like 20, 30 questions, each section of the Parsha. And he lists these questions, and in the end he develops like one Mahalach, kind of what we do, I guess, in this year, and trying to develop one Mahalach and theme to answer all these questions up. So the Barbanel, in his Akdama, in his introduction to Sefer Devarim, he raises the question of who wrote Sefer Devarim. So if you look inside here, I'll try to translate as best as I can. On the bottom of page 2, the Barbanel writes, Sha'alti Bekashti, I asked the question, Im Mishneh Torah, if the Mishneh Torah, the Sefer Devarim, Asher Sham Moshe Lefnei Bnei Israel, that Moshe Rabbeinu placed in front of Bnei Israel, Ritzoni Lomar Sefer Eilu Devarim, in other words, Sefer Devarim, Hayam Eis Hashem Min HaShemayim. Was it from God, from Shemayim? Vadvar Masher Bo, the things that are within it, Moshe Amram Mipiagvur, everything there Moshe Rabbeinu actually said from Hashem. Ki Yeser Divrei Torah. Like the rest of the Torah, Bracious, from the beginning, the word Bracious, Ad Leinei Kol Yisrael, the last three words of the Torah. Everything was from Hashem. Eilu Ve'elu, this and that, Divrei Elokim Chaim, they're all the words of God, Mibli Hayos Ba'am Shina V'chalef, without any change, without any switching around. Was everything from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Oh, or perhaps, Im Sefer Mishnah Torah, perhaps this Mishnah Torah, Sefer Devarim, Amru Moshe Me'atzma, Moshe Rabbeinu said it on his own. Chavru Ve'amru, Kimivar Ma'shehevin Me'akavana, he said it on his own according to his understanding, his intentions, halakis, what he thought the God's intentions were, Bir HaMitzvos, and explaining the mitzvos. U'kumo Shamar HaKasu, like the Pasuk says that we read, Hoya Moshe Bir HaTorah HaZos, that Moshe Rabbeinu expounded it all on the entire Torah. Kiderach Yodidas Mivini Mada Shivaru Al Sefer Kal Davar HaKasu Dvarim Shekasu Se Asuk Yamim. In other words, he's asking our question, did Moshe Rabbeinu write Sefer Dvarim or did HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So now he says, let's look at each side for a second. Let's look at these two approaches. So the last line of this page, he says, Vim hechazaknu, if you're going to take Bidas Arish on the first approach, Shekol Divrei HaTorah Tumam, the entire Torah, in its entirety, Hashem Divrei Yikra Eretz, it was all from Hashem, V'chkulam Nasnu Meroa Echad, it was all given from one shepherd, from one person, Hashem, U'Moshe Kosovo Samal Sefer B'dio, Moshe just wrote it down, We have three questions we have to ask. If you think Hashem wrote everything, I've got three questions I want to raise. Ha'echa, the first question. Why do you have to repeat so many things? If Hashem, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote the first four Svarim, what's the repetition in Sefer Devarim? The beginning of Sefer Devarim recounts all the places, all the sins that it happened. And we have many mitzvot that are repeated also. Or maybe you want to say, oh, because Sefer Devarim is explaining what happened in the first four Svarim. Well, Lama Chasim Torah B'limud B'Rishona. Why didn't Hashem write everything in the first four Svarim? Make them four Svarim and not five Svarim. Why do you have to leave open-ended questions in the first four Svarim and leave it for the fifth Sefer Devarim to complete everything? That you have to end up explaining things. A writer doesn't write a few chapters and leave questions and then write a fifth chapter to explain everything. So it kind of seems like Hashem didn't really write it. Hasheni, a second point he makes, Lama arba chumashim harishonim, why do the first four chumashim, bo b'lashon nistar kishlishi hamedaber, comes from like a third person. This happened and this happened, everything, and Moshe did this and Moshe did this, a third person. B'sefer Eil HaDvarim Kasev Moshe, but Eil Dvarim Moshe wrote B'lashon HaMedaber Be'ado Ad Parshas Vayelech. He wrote in the first person. Moshe says, I saw this and I did this. Everything's an I. There's obviously a literary change here from Sefer Dvarim to the rest of the Chumash. Up until Parshas Vayelech, where it kind of turns again to the Lashon of third person. Now Ashlishi, the third question he asks, Im hadvarim kulam heim divrei kelchai, if everything is really from Hashem in Sefer Devarim, ma inyan maimim zal b'megillah, he raised our question in Gemara, we don't have to read this inside right here, he raised our question in the Gemara Megillah that says Moshe Rabbeinu said the klalos that are found in Mishnah Torah. So clearly Hashem didn't say everything because Moshe Rabbeinu said these klalos, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So for these three reasons, Hashem couldn't have written the Sefer Devarim. Three questions again. If Hashem wrote it, why do you have to repeat certain things in Sefer Devarim? Two, why is it written in third person, and now Sefer Devarim all of a sudden is in first person? And third point is the Gemara Megillah, which says Moshe Rabbeinu said these curses. For those three reasons, he finds it hard to believe Hashem wrote it. But now, he says, Vim hechzaknu b'das hasheni, if you want to take the second approach, Shesefer Eilu HaDvarim Adoneinu Moshe Chabro, that Moshe Rabbeinu really wrote it. Let's take that approach now. Kim Mevaris HaMitzvos U'magin Mereishis Achris HaDvarim Asher Yaku El B'neim Achrim Hinei Yischaivul Ozeh Gam Kin Arba Sfeikos. I'm going to have to raise four questions now if you think Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Sefer Devarim. What are the four questions? Ha'echad Eich Ba Sefer Kasva Moshe Me'atzma B'tok Sefer Elokim. How is it possible that a human being like Moshe Rabbeinu, even though a great human being, was able to incorporate his own writings within Sifrei Elokim, within God's works. It makes no sense. V'hiyat tchilas advarim, at the beginning, mipi akel, v'amru elo advarim, asher diber Moshe, the opening of Sefer Dvarim is, these are the words that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke. Those seem to be third person. Those seem to be the words of God. U'molach ad hasof gamkin, uvem se'usam, and in the middle of Sefer Dvarim, yavo Dvarim she'enu mipi agvura. Then all of a sudden, you have Moshe Rabbeinu's own personal words in the middle. That makes a little sense. Shani, second question he asks now. Lama b'toch divrei Moshe ha'medaber ba'ado ba'o dvarim b'lashon nistar. Even within Moshe Rabbeinu's own work of Sefer Dvarim, if you want to grant him that, we do find certain instances where it goes back to the third person, which implies Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't writing everything. There was a third person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was writing everything. Let's jump to three now. The third question, he says, Ima Sefer Ezer Amru Moshe Me'atzmo, if Moshe Rabbeinu himself wrote it, Eich bo mitzvos rabos asher lo nizkar adayin. We have many mitzvos that appear in Sefer Dvarim that haven't appeared yet in the Chumash. How is Moshe Rabbeinu able to add new mitzvos that have never appeared beforehand? For example, there's a mitzvah of Gerushin, the mitzvah of Yibun, are some of the examples that are mentioned in Sefer Dvarim and never mentioned before. How is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu on his own can create new mitzvos? It doesn't make any sense. And his fourth and final question on this approach is, Im hayu advarim divrei Moshe b'sefer hazeh, if it really was Moshe's words, im kein, and he goes on to say, the Gemara in Sanhedrin that we raised, that everything came from Shemayim, the Gemara in Sanhedrin said. So how can Moshe Rabbeinu write a sefer Torah, a sefer Dvarim? So he has a few questions on each side. Did Moshe Rabbeinu write it? And he asks four questions. Did Hashem write it? He asks three questions. What's the answer? So, this is a bit long. I guess we don't have to read everything inside. So, it's all here in front of us, but I'll say it outside what that Barbanel thinks happened. Moshe Rabbeinu himself, when he got up to give the Tochacha, when he got up to give all the curses, he himself did say it on his own. He gave these curses. But Hashem said, those words that you said, I want you to write down. Moshe didn't write it down on his own. He may have said it on his own. We have other instances where Paro, for example, is speaking. We write that down. Balak, Bilam are speaking. We write that down. Just because Moshe Rabbeinu said something doesn't mean he actually wrote it down. Hashem went ahead and said to write it down. So he goes on to explain that really everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu has a little more input in Sefer Dvarim, he's maybe more involved, he's speaking more. Well, that just becomes the nature of Sefer Dvarim because he's at the end of his life. But in the end of the day, Hashem said, I want to write down what you said. And that's how the Abarbanel gets out of it. So Sefer Dvarim, in fact, is no different than the previous four parshios. He does also explain that Sefer Dvarim is a repetition, a chazara, a review of what happened beforehand. He says, you're right, even though Gittin and Yibum and other mitzvot that are mentioned in Sefer Dvarim do not appear explicitly in the first four Chumashim, they are hinted, and so he doesn't go into depth how they're hinted or where they're hinted, but everything is hinted in the first four Pesukim. Sefer Dvarim is simply a chazara of what happened beforehand. So that's how the Barbanel's approach to a couple of these questions we've addressed. I'd like to take this idea of Mishneh Torah being a chazara, being a review, and look at two very interesting, look at one inside and I'll say one outside. You jump to the last page, we have Tosfos. Tosfos, the very first Tosfos in Gittin, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, says the following. He says, Ma shenagim lichtov yud beis shiros beget. We write, when it comes to writing a get, there are 12 lines on a get. Why do we have 12 lines? So, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Mishum de get begematria yud beis. The numerical value of get, gimel is 3, tes is 9, comes up with 12. Because get equals 12, we have 12 lines on a get. However, the re, Tosfos says, Shama b'shem Rav Haigon. He heard from Rav Haigon, b'shem Rabbeinu Sadia. He heard from Rabbeinu Sadia. Mishum dechsev sefer krisos. Since the words that are used to describe a get in the Torah is sefer krisos, a document of some sort, a book of some sort of separation. So therefore, why Lashon is Sefer? It has to be Kishir Yud Bei Shitin, the 12 Shitin that are Mafsikin Bein Arba Chumshei Sefer Torah. The 12 lines that are used to separate the Chumash. What does that mean? Between each of the Sfarim, between Bereishis and Shemos, there are four empty lines, space, four lines. And between Shemos and Vayikra, there's another four lines. And between Vayikra and Bamidbar, there's another four lines. That comes up with 12. Right? Between Bereishis and Shemos is one, between Shemos and Vayikra is two, and between Shemos and Vayikra and Bamidbar, rather, is three. Three times four, we have 12. 12 lines. What happens between Bamidbar and Devarim, though? So, Tosfos goes on to say, he quotes Gemara in Baba Basa, Shetzarach laniach arba shitim bein kol sefer v'sefer. You have to put four lines. He quotes a Gemara between each sefer. V'hefsek shebein v'idaber l'mishnah Torah. And the hefsek, the separation between v'idaber l'mishnah Torah of Bamidbar and Mishnah Torah, lo chashiv. We don't consider those lines. There are four spaces there, four lines of spaces, empty lines. But those are not considered in this calculation. Why? She'enu ela chozer v'shonem mashal l'mala. The whole nature of Sefer Dvarim is simply to be a review of what happened before him. So we don't view it as an independent sefer. So therefore the separation is really not significant because it's really a chazara. And we only count the first three separations, we come up with 12 lines. So it's clear from Tosfos that he shared the review of the Bar Barnel, that Mishnah Torah is in fact the chazara, a review. And he brings it out, l'halacha, that is actually, not a halacha, but an explanation of a halacha, of the reason behind 12 lines. Rav Yosef Engel has a, Rav Yosef Engel was, I don't have his background, but he wrote, on his tombstone it says he wrote over 101 svarim. And in the war, we lost many of the Sfarim. And in his, he has a piece on Shas, on Gemara. And on this Tosfos in Gittin, he has another application where we see that Mishnah Torah is viewed as simply a Chazara. So where is this? Here we go. So, Yosef Engel quotes from a Chuvos HaRash. The Rush was a Rishon. And in his Chuvos, he was asked the following question. Someone came to him and said, I drank Yayin Nesach by mistake. What's Yayin Nesach? So Yayin Nesach is if a non-Jew, or even a Jew for that matter, took wine, as wine libations to an idol, so that wine is now Asur. And it's a deraisa to drink it or even to get any hanah from it. So a certain person accidentally drank it. B'matechapi, he wants to know how should I get tshuva, proper atonement for his mistake. So the Rush writes, I heard from a certain chassid that you should fast 5 days. Why 5 days? It should correspond to the five times that the word gefen, wine, is mentioned in the Chumash. Except for those that are included in Mishnah Torah. It's mentioned, the word Geffen is mentioned in Mishnah Torah also, I don't know how many times, but he's only using the five that are mentioned in the first four Sfarim. So Rav Yosef Engel explains the same reasoning as Tosfos and their Bar Barnel. Since the Mishnah Torah is simply a Chazara, a review of what happened in the first four Chumashim, we don't view it as an independent Sefer, and therefore we won't include, in terms of this form of Tshuva, as a counting the amount of times Geffen appears there. So we see now two instances that we're actually using this concept for halachic reason to explain why we have 12 lines in a get, and to explain this interesting tshuva of how one would do tshuva for drinking Yayin Nesach. The Gra also shares this opinion, and he has a most fascinating way of reading the psukim we started off with on the first page. The Gra writes that these five psukim here, that appear on page 1, is each a reference to the first three of the four Sfarim. Bereishis is just an introduction really to Shmo, so, or the entire Chumash, so he doesn't include that. But each of the Pesukim is a reference to Shmos Bamidbar, Shmos Vayikra and Bamidbar. So how do we see this? So the first time Asher Diber Moshe is mentioned, let's look at the three highlights. The first highlight, remember we said the three highlights are the three times it says Moshe speaking. This is all in one introduction. Moshe is about to speak. Three different times. So the first pasuk, which has the yellow highlights, Asher Diber Moshe, that appears in the beginning of the pasuk, which corresponds to the beginning, say for Shmos. In pasuk Gimel, the second yellow highlight is Diber Moshe is found in the middle of the pasuk. That corresponds to Sefer Vayikra, the middle of these three svarim. And finally, pasuk Hey Lemor, the third mention of this Moshe speaking, is at the end of the pasuk to correspond to Sefer Bamidbar. These three, so these five psukim is an introduction to Bamidbar, which is really all a chazara of the first three of the four svarim, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar. And it goes on even further to explain that the three sections of Sefer Devarim also corresponds to Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar. We said there are three sections again of Devarim. One section is the rebuke Moshe gives. The second section is the mitzvos. And the third section is the final covenant between Klal Yisrael and Hashem. So what are the first words of the first section? Eila Devarim. How does Shmos begin? Ve'eila Shmos. Lashon ve'eila Devarim ve'eila Shmos. That corresponds to each other. What's the beginning, the first word? I don't have it in front of us, but what's the first word of the second section of Devarim? The second section of Devarim, which is about the mitzvahs, begins with the word Vayikra. Vayikra, corresponding to Vayikra. And the third section begins with the word Vayidaber, and that corresponds to Bamidbar. Bamidbar begins that way. So the Gemara thinks these Pesukim, again, he doesn't go into detail of all the cities, perhaps the cities like what you were saying, like the Rashbam was saying, but that he explained the three mentions of Moshe speaking to correspond to the three three chumashim. And the Gra's perspective is that this also is a review. Mishnah Torah is a review of the entire chumash. Let's jump back to one question. The other question we wanted to raise, sorry for going back and forth here, about who wrote Mishnah Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu or HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we already mentioned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote it. Moshe Rabbeinu may have said the klalos, the curses, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote it. There's a very interesting Gemara Nivamos that says the following. It brings another distinction in Gemara Nivamos between Mishnah Torah, Sefer Devarim, and the other four svarim. There's a concept, there's a way of expounding the Torah called smuchim. Smuchim means samuch is next to. So when one pasuk appears to another next to another pasuk, or one parsha appears next to another parsha, you're able to make certain drashas. You could learn one from the next. So the Gemara there says the first four chumashim, Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, we don't darshan. We don't use this concept of smukim. You can't use this mechanism. You can't connect pasukim just because pasukim are next to each other or parshas are next to each other. You can't use. Only Mishnah Torah are you allowed to use this concept, this mechanism of smukim. If you find one pasuk next to another pasuk, you could use this mechanism of smuchim. What's the difference? So the Ravan explains. Ravan is a Rishon. I think he was in the family of Rashi, in the Bali Tosfos. He says, because Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't write Sefer Devarim, but he did organize Sefer Devarim. While the other Svarim may not have been organized, I don't know what that entirely means, how it's not organized, but Moshe Rabbeinu did have some input into Sefer Devarim in terms of the organization. Since it was organized, that means every pasuk next to another pasuk had meaning. And therefore, only in Mishnah Torah is one able to use this mechanism, this way of expounding the Torah, called smuchim. And that's what the Ravan says. So he has this kind of a middle approach of Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't write it, but he did have some input. Keep that in mind. So now to go back, to what is Mishnah Torah mean? So we explained a few places in Mishnah Torah it means chazar. Mishnah means like lechem Mishnah, a second portion. So Mishnah Torah is a second time around or a review. I like to read from the Netziv. Now the Netziv, he's an interesting story. Netziv, first of all, stands for Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. He lived in the 19th century. And legend has it that when he was young in yeshiva, he wasn't so successful. And late at night once, he overheard his parents discussing maybe he should start working on a trade of some sort. Learning wasn't his thing. And he got really scared, and he decided to change himself, and he became Rosh Yeshiva of Lajin, and he put together many svarim, many important works, a commentary on Chumash, on Medrash, on a Shiltas, if you've heard of that. Shiltas was by the Gaonim. Many important works. That's the story behind the Netziv, they explain. So the Netziv, in his Perush on Chumash, he has all these famous Hakdamas in each of the Sfarim. Let me just say one, since we mentioned it earlier. Each of the Sifrei Sfarim, Chamishi Chumshei Torah, have a different name than we always refer to it as. Bereishis is called Sefer Yetzirah, and Vayikra is called Toras Kohanim, because all the Kohanim, discussions of the Avoda, the work that's done in the Mikdash. Bamidbar is Pekudim, which means numbers. A lot of counting goes on there. Sefer Devarim is Mishneh Torah, as we explained, repetition. The one that doesn't have one is Sefer Shmos. Shmos does not have a alternate title for it. So he explained, because Sefer Shmos is really a continuation of Sefer Bereishis. It's really one unit. Sefer Bereishis is a creation of a world. Sefer Shmos is a creation of a nation. And Sefer Yetzirah really categorizes both these together. It's one. Yetzirah means creation. So Sefer Yetzirah includes the creation of Bereishis, the entire world, and also Shmos, which is the creation of the nation. That also answers another question we mentioned earlier. The Gra says that Sefer Devarim is a review of the Shmos Vayikra Bamidbar, what happened to Bereishis. In light of this Netziv's explanation, Bereishis are really in the same category as Shmos, so those are really only three, if you will, three Svarim prior to Devarim. The Netziv also has a very important discussion in his Hakdama, his opening introduction to Sefer Devarim. He first quotes from this Tosfos that we read in Gittin, that Mishneh Torah is a chazar, is a review. And he says, I don't really like that so much, because you're going to have to find, for every mitzvah we have in Sefer Devarim, you're going to have to find something back in the previous four chumashim, how it relates to it. So he quotes the Ramban that says that Shuluach HaKan, when you're sending away a bird, a mother bird is laying eggs, and you want to collect these eggs, you have to send away the bird. And when the bird goes away, then you could take the eggs. But you can't take the eggs while the bird is still there. That's never mentioned in the earlier parts of the Chumash. He wants to connect it to Oso Espino. What's the problem? What's the Isser Oso Espino? You cannot shecht a mother and its child on the very same day. Two different days. So he says they're connected. Why? Because it shows some compassion of some sort to animals. And then Sif doesn't like that. What do you mean? One's talking about sending away birds to collect eggs, and one's talking about shechting a mother and its child. Those have nothing to do with each other. You're stretching it. You're going too far to explain how it's a chazara. He doesn't think Mishneh Torah is really a repetition, a review of the prior parts of the Chumash. So he goes on to explain in Mechadesh his own explanation. He says, the whole idea of Sefer Devarim is to stress the importance of Talmud Torah, to stress the importance of amelus, of effort and time put into learning Torah. And there are many psukim which go into this. It's the importance of being very careful and diligent in your learning and understanding each word and each letter. It's all this musr to help people love Talmud Torah. That's what Sefer Devarim is about. And that's why it's called Mishneh Torah. Because what does Mishneh mean? It can be Mishneh, second, double portion, but it could also be derived from the word Vishinantam. Vishinantam Levanecha, we say in Shema. You should teach your children. You should teach, you should be mechudar, you should be sharp. So Mishneh Torah means sharpening your Torah, strengthening your level of Torah. And that's what Mishneh Torah means. It means having the amelus and the emphasis on Talmud Torah. So this idea we can now explain in some of the mefarshim we've been talking about up until now. Sefer Devarim definitely has some differences from the previous Svarim. Kadosh Baruch Hu definitely wrote it, but he wrote it what exactly Moshe said. Moshe said what he said, he said the curses, but Hashem said, I like what you said, I want you to write it down. Or according to the Ravan who said, Moshe didn't write it, but Moshe at least, he organized it. Suddenly Moshe's having much more impact and influence in Sefer Devarim than prior to this. There's another Gra that says that the first four, or the beginning, Moshe Rabbeinu, all his nevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu had from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was very different than any other Navi. Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah came from his throat. That when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke, it came directly from God, it just kind of came out. Moshe, if you will, was the mouthpiece for Hashem. Different than any other Navi. But when it came to Sefer Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu was a little different. He was back to like any other Navi was. And he had a vision, and he interpreted and said the vision as he saw it. So we're seeing a lot of change here. But the change that we're seeing is change where Moshe Rabbeinu is having more input and more influence. And I think Sefer Devarim really, in light of this discussion, really works great in what we've been saying up until now in all the previous parashios, where we have this new generation coming, where Hashem is going to take more of a backseat role. He doesn't want to be so obvious. He doesn't want to be so overbearing as much as he's been. No more miracles. He wants Klai Yisrael to step up the level, to initiate things that we've spoken about, to input things more, to, if you will, create things, to emulate God. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, in his speeches, in all Sefer Devarim, Hashem said, I like what you said, I actually want to incorporate that into my Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't himself write the Torah, it had to be from Hashem, but it was agreed upon by Hashem, I'm going to accept your words. This was another manifestation of this concept of Moshe Rabbeinu as a leader and the rest of Klal Yisrael really coming in together. And that works beautifully with what the Nitziv is saying. What Mishnah Torah means is v'shinantem, to learn Torah, to have a melech in Torah, to be mechadish things, that people should learn Torah on their own and create new chidushim in order to incorporate their own ideas of Torah. So stop here.